Will Coke add life to the Chinese beverage business?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon. If you can't exactly buy the world a Coke, maybe buying a huge share of the global marketplace is the next best thing. A company called Huiyuan is the market-leading juice maker in China. And now Coca-Cola wants to juice up its own business for a price tag of $2.5 billion. The only acquisitions by foreign companies that come close to this in China have been for minority stakes in the country's banks. Marketplace's Scott Tong joins us from Shanghai. Good morning. And I guess it's no big surprise that Coke would like a bigger piece of a very big customer base.
It comes as no surprise because obviously the market for selling anything in the U.S. is going sideways for a lot of companies, are going down, and China is still expanding at an 8 or 9 or 10% clip. The other part of it is Coca-Cola is trying to expand beyond soft drinks. And so juice and bottled tea and all of these other things, including coffee in China, are taking off as a drink market. And Coca-Cola really wants to take advantage of that.
Why now? What's behind the timing of this?
It's always hard to know, but I spoke to a couple people who think it's no accident that this is coming soon after the Olympics. And most branding experts say if you wanted to pick the number one winner as far as an international Olympic sponsor, it would be Coca-Cola. I mean, Coca-Cola owned the place. You couldn't buy a drink from any other company in the entire Olympics complex. So their branding in China and among Chinese officials is substantial here.
This would be the biggest foreign acquisition in China so far. Any regulatory problems with that?
It's always a question that foreign companies have to ask in China. Sometimes domestic players have waved the flag saying this doesn't help China's future, and the regulators have stayed quiet or allowed deals to just kind of fall apart. So that could happen here, and with a high-profile acquisition like this, you never know.
Marketplace's Scott Tong in Shanghai, thank you.
Okay, Bob.
It looked like the old head fake on Wall Street yesterday. The market started off more than 200 points higher, but ended up tanking by the end of trading. The Dow will be trying to climb back from a loss of 26 points, a quarter of a percent. The Nasdaq lopped off three quarters of a percent, while the S&P 500 slipped nearly half a percent. This morning, European markets are sliding. London's FTSE is down the most, 1.8%. Walmart is keeping a wary eye on the eye of what was Hurricane Hanna and could yet be again. Forecasters say the tropical storm has plenty of time to strengthen back into a hurricane before possibly striking Florida and Georgia later in the week. And Walmart's concerned because if the storm follows its current path, it could take aim at three times as many stores as Gustav had threatened. As the Gulf Coast regroups from that storm, retail businesses will be trying to reopen quickly, Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
The big grocery chains were ready for this storm. Albertsons spokeswoman Jen Roman says her company has trucks rolling in from Texas. All but five of Albertsons' 15 stores in southern Louisiana should be open by this morning.
We've been staging product for the last several weeks, just knowing what we would need. Ice, water, batteries, perishable products. We find charcoal. A lot of customers are out grilling because they don't have power.
People who work in grocery stores and gas stations got passes to return early. Greg LaRose edits the newspaper New Orleans City Business. I reached him where he'd evacuated in Baton Rouge.
Because we haven't seen the widespread residential destruction that we did post-Katrina, it lends me to believe that people are going to come back, and therefore, you know, they're going to be counting on these stores to be open when they do get back.
He says as New Orleanians like him return, demand for food and basic supplies should help retailers bounce back quickly. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Areva, solutions for producing CO2-free energy and transmitting and distributing electricity. Online at us.areva.com. And by the Medtronic Foundation, celebrating global passion to live life to the fullest with 25 runners from around the world. More on global heroes at Medtronic.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
School children across the country are headed back to class this week. And if you're a parent packing Junior's lunch right now, here's some food for thought. Rising food and gas prices are taking a big bite out of school cafeteria budgets. Marketplace's Steve Henn has the next in our series of back-to-school reports.
It's lunchtime in Arlington County, Virginia, and this pack of four-year-olds in public preschool is hungry.
What's your favorite school lunch?
Chicken nuggets.
Oh, so this is a good day. What else do you have on your plate?
Chicken nuggets, grape, milk.
Jaden doesn't mention his steamed carrots. He doesn't eat them either. But every kid in his class is served a balanced lunch, and the cost is skyrocketing. Consider this. The price of an 8-ounce carton of milk rose by 10 cents last year. Arlington serves 10,000 cartons of milk a day. Amy McCloskey runs Arlington County's school lunch program.
We ended up in the red, but we're working on changing our choices and offering maybe less choices, but still good quality.
That means more fish sticks and fewer options. McCloskey raised prices, too. Still, it may not be enough.
This is going to be a tough year, but on the other side, it's a tough year for families. Everybody's struggling.
Food and gas prices are up. Lower home values mean school districts have less property tax money. Schools want their lunch programs to support themselves, even turn a profit. Barbara Belmont has headed the School Nutrition Association for 15 years.
I don't recall any time the times have been as difficult as they are now for our members. And so they're looking for additional sources of revenue.
One place to look? Cookies, chips, and packaged drinks. Recently, there's been a push to get junk food out of schools, but Margot Wutan at the Center for Science and the Public Interest says that's changing.
Many school food service directors are turning to selling junk food in order to make ends meet.
Wutan and Belmont want more federal money for school lunches, but for now, school systems are scrambling. In most states, schools can still legally sell Snickers bars and Gatorade a la carte. These snacks don't meet federal dietary guidelines, but Belmont says they're a moneymaker. And for many school lunch programs, that's the bottom line. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
You'll find replays of our programs at marketplace.org, and just click on the contact link to send us your thoughts. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. Thanks very much for listening this morning.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.